Very warm welcome this morning. Today, by the way, we are doing something we've not done before, which we are live streaming. So theoretically, you could be watching on YouTube live. So if you are, welcome. If you're watching later, welcome. And if you're here in person and made it through the snow, a very warm welcome. We're going to begin our service of Holy Eucharist on the first page of our seasonal booklet. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one,
have mercy upon us.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one,
have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things, both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
First reading is from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn son for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord. Let us say together Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may abide upon your holy hill, whoever leads a blameless life and does what is right, who speaks the truth from his heart, there is no guile upon his tongue, he does no evil to his friend, he does not heap contempt upon his neighbor. In his sight, the wicked is rejected, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He has sworn to do no wrong and does not take back his word. He does not give his money in hope of gain, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be overthrown.
Our second reading is from Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Lord Jesus.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is the opening line we have of the Beatitudes according to Matthew. Probably very familiar words to all of us, if not most of us. They do have a striking dissimilarity from the ones we heard a year ago from Luke, which says simply, blessed are the poor. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Its familiarity may overshadow a little bit the fact that this is kind of a strange line. Other lines in the Beatitudes make more sense because they talk about humility. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are merciful, pure in heart, the peacemakers. We can see how each one of those may be blessed because of what comes next, or because they might exhibit some Christ-like sentiment or ability. When we think about poor in spirit, spiritual poverty is not one that seems to exhibit humility or maybe even deserving of comfort. In the world of faith, spiritual poverty might even sound a little bit like a deficiency. It may be the last kind of person you might expect to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Not in today's epistle lesson, but about five chapters down, St. Paul even makes sure to talk about the all sorts of folks he does not see inheriting the kingdom of heaven. And the list seems to cover about every kind of sin, from idolatry to revelers, whatever that means. I guess don't go to a sports game. But spiritual poverty is lacking any sort of grounding in the divine. Now, I'm not, by the way, saying St. Paul is wrong, but I think in context, that can inform the way that we hear this idea about spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty is, though, problematic. It is trusting in one's own righteousness over God's. It's valuing the things of this world over the things of the next world. It is filling that great void we may have in our soul with a quick fix, any quick fix we can find. And so when we think about those who lack in spiritual wealth or strength, maybe those aren't the first ones we think of who are going to find the heavenly realm, let alone possess it. But perplexingly, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says of those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Interestingly, he says the same corollary to one other group, those who suffer persecution. You notice that in the Beatitudes, we have the same reward at the end of two of those things. One is those who are suffering persecution, and the other is those who are poor in spirit. Ones who might feel like they are at opposite ends of the spiritual journey. I think in a lot of ways we live in an age of great spiritual poverty. We don't live in an age when people are simply apathetic toward faith. People, in fact, today resent faith. They've seen years of problems and maybe things that got picked out in the news, and they start to resent what happens in religion. They mock religion. They view it with scorn. Or see it maybe as obscure or anachronistic. I was surprised many years ago. I was in Chicago on Michigan Avenue, and I see a sign that says All Saints, which turns out was not a church, but yet rather it was a clothing outlet. Even more perplexingly, their main clothing line was called True Religion. Religion has become so obscure in our society, it's even something that feels like completely disconnected from anything, that it could just be words that we use to sell merchandise. I think most people in the world today are only vaguely aware of differences in denomination, and frankly, don't even care that much. So thinking about this poverty of spirit that exists in our society and how deep it has become. I did appreciate the joke in the weekly parish email about how I was going to preach on forgiving the unruly passenger who made me miss church last week. Thanks for the spoiler. And yes, that did happen. Our plane had to turn around because of a drunken, belligerent passenger, of course, in first class, which made everyone happy. And our return trip, I would have been here last Sunday, but instead I was trying to figure out how to get back. It was somewhere over the air about the time we were doing church. Truth be told, I didn't think of such a sermon right off the bat because, you know, I was a little bit grumpy about the whole thing. But then I think more importantly about focusing on one person's failings. Maybe a little bit unfair. It'd probably be unfair since, you know, if I'm going to be honest, I can think of times I've gone to the airport bar before a flight. Am I alone in that? And sure, I haven't overdone it, but what's to say I couldn't have overdone it? I mean, I am just a sinner like everyone else. So is that guy. So then I start to have to think a little bit broader about these kind of things. Like, why is traveling so stressful that people feel the need to self-medicate? Why are employees so overworked they may have missed someone who should perhaps not have boarded? Why is it my first thought was not to have a pity on someone who probably has an illness of addiction and instead be angry? All of these kind of point toward different aspects of spiritual poverty. And it's easy to forget, especially when someone else does something wrong, that all of us can be a bit poor in spirit at some point. The whole world is. And maybe that is why we are all in such desperate need to be blessed. Around the turn of the last century, Congregational pastor Samuel Wolcott wrote the hymn lyrics to Christ to the World We Sing, in which he says in the first verse, "The poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal." Whom Christ doth heal. And it is in Christ's healing, it is that very healing of Christ, that we receive that sweet relief of all that burdens us, the sin-sick and the sorrow-worn, our own failings, the void in our souls, in that healing grace and mercy, we too possess the kingdom of heaven. As St. Paul says in today's epistle lesson, the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message that there is any grace in our own spiritual poverty would feel foolish. And yet, God's wisdom is that when we have been completely emptied and come to find that nothing can truly fill that void in our souls, it is at that moment when grace, like the air we breathe in the emptiness, abounds. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Please stand. Say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
of one being with the Father.
Forgive all things were made.
For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven.
By the power of the Holy Spirit,
he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man.
For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again
in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. From the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People, Form 6. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For those in the armed forces, and especially those deployed, Mike Irena Means. In our parish cycle of prayer, John and Beth Falk, Mary Flynn and family. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our family, friends, and neighbors,
and for those who are alone. In our community, all the Burlington area churches, Love Incorporated, the Transitional Living Center, the Women's Resource Center, the Diocesan Hospitality Center. For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all the members of justice, freedom, and nations.
For the just and proper use of your creation. For victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression. For those who are in need, Deacon Georgia Agner, Margie Beely, Jane Clothier, Sue Hallingstadt, Cindy Lawrence, Betty Lorenzi, Mary Nichols, Jerry Ramsey, Gary Twist, Sharon Twist, David Toretta, Jimmy Yanni, Tommy Yanni, Jill Yorn. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, the Church of Pakistan. For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth. For Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury. Michael, our presiding bishop. Jeff, our bishop. Matthew, our interim priest. Jessica and Becky, our wardens, Bill, Connie, Deanna, and Pat, our vestry and clerk, and for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God and His church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord, for your mercy is great. For those celebrating birthdays, Christine Porter. For those preparing for the birth of a child, Danny and Nicole Martzel. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for Lana Ramsey and for all who have died. They may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins, for our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you for joining the St. John the Divine podcast. If you're interested in worshiping with us, you can visit us at 9 a.m. at our church, which is at 216 East Chandler Boulevard in Burlington, Wisconsin. If you want to learn more about us, you can click the link in the description or visit stjohnthedivine.com. www.thecathedralofnewyork.org. Just remember, we're the one in Burlington, Wisconsin, not the cathedral in New York. Have a great day. Bye.